Lord be with you. From the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. You might like to sit during the reading because it's a long reading this morning. And it was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him."
He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it.
Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, this morning in the Gospel, we come across again a very familiar story, and if you can imagine what dealing with that story for more or less 55 years is quite difficult to come up with something new, but however we'll give it a try. And I want to begin with a little story. It's about a nurse, a very good nurse who worked in pediatric ward in a hospital, and she was very, very good at putting little children to ease and helping them to relax. Because like ourselves, everybody, if they go into hospital, are a little bit worried. And so she would normally get the stethoscope and put the two plugs in their ears, and then put the disc on their chest and say, "Now tell me what you hear. Can you hear your heart?" And they would listen, and their little faces would light up, and they would be amazed at the sound that was coming through from their heart. But one day, she did this to a little fella called David, and she got a very amazing response from him, because she handed a stethoscope to little David and said, "Put those two things in your ears," and she put the disc on his heart, and she said, "Now, what's that like? What are you listening to? What do you hear?" And he was thinking for quite a while, and no answer was coming, and then his little face lit up. And he said, "I hear Jesus knocking. Well, Jesus every day is knocking at our hearts, but we don't often hear him. Now, we're dealing this morning about, in the first reading from Ezekiel, we read there about God saying, I will open your graves and put a new spirit in you. And then we read about Lazarus in the tomb, and Jesus says, come out. Now, you might be surprised if I say this to you. Not all dead people are in the cemetery. There's a lot of dead people walking around. And I'm sure you've come across some of them. I've come across many, many people dead. Totally close minds. This always reminds me of a close mind. Okay, you're not going to change me. You've come across people like that. And a lot of us are in prison. We're not free. Now, you might disagree with all that, and that's grand. But let me explain it to you. One of the biggest prison builders in the whole world is fear. Fear. So many people live in fear. You know, fear. Their lives are dominated by fear. Now, don't reject that the minute you hear it, but have the honesty to look at yourself. How often does fear stop you from doing something? So many people, you ask them to do something and they say, I can't. The answer is not I can't, I don't want to. Why? For fear of failure. For fear of failure. Adversity and failure determines how we cope with adversity, and failure really is the forms our soul and our character, how we deal with failure. And I hope, because I can, before God, I can put my hand on my heart, and I thank God for every single failure in my life, and there were thousands, because I would never have learned anything but for failures. So never be afraid of failing. It's the best school, the best university you can ever go to. But so many of us, we live in fear, and we don't do things we want to for fear that we'd fail. We live in fear of what people think about us. We're trying to guard our reputation. We've always got to win. We've got to be successful. Why do we put ourselves in a prison like that? Huh? Why? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I'm standing up here before you. I don't have any notes. I'm not too sure how I'm going to bring this to a conclusion, but I'm not worried. No. And if I fail, I fail. But I'm totally relaxed. So because I have come to accept failure in my life and to be comfortable with failure. How hard or easy do you find it to say, I was wrong? Look at the news. Look at politicians being interviewed. When did you last hear one of them saying, I was wrong? When did you last say, without fear, I was wrong? How we'll fight to justify ourselves, even though we know deep down, I got that wrong. See, it's fine. Fine. Somebody asked me a question of some kind, and no, Hammer said, I don't know. I don't have to know everything. I don't know. The other prison that imprisons so many people is carrying grievances, carrying anger. How often we do that, carrying grudges, not being willing to forgive. There, you know, in every community, there are empty spaces because people refuse to forgive or people carry anger. Sad, sad, sad. There is only one way of dealing with anger. Nothing wrong with being angry. So don't come and confess, I was angry 3 times. Because the only answer to that is, thank God you're alive and you're normal. It's normal to be angry at times. But you've got to deal with the anger. You know? And the only way of dealing with anger is to go to the person with whom you feel angry and say, I feel very angry, or I feel angry when you do this or when you do that. Now, they may not change, and they might continue on the same way, but now it doesn't affect me because I know, they know how I feel, and that's the whole solution. Now, have you ever said, because you've probably never said a truer thing, somebody calls you up on the phone, or somebody asked you to do something, and you said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do it at the moment. I'm tied up. I normally pause and say, oh, didn't know you went into that. Forget that. But you know, it's so true. Many of us are tied up. We're in bondage. You know, just like what did Jesus say when he brought Lazarus out of the tomb? Huh? He said, unbind him, let him go. And listen to those words this morning, and that's what we need to do. Most of us, and I include myself, I'm never just talking to you, we need to let things go. Things that hold us back, things that we cling onto. Look, a day is going to come, sooner or later. We're at present here in the parish mourning a lovely man, David Sanchez, who was out hiking yesterday morning, had a heart attack, and died. So, he was a wonderful man, but he didn't know yesterday morning. He had many plans, he was going to do things, and suddenly. And so, what are you clinging on to? What won't you let go? Let go and let God. And so many of us are clinging on, we're clasping. A day is going to come when you got to leave all those things that you're now clinging on to, that keep you awake at night, that you worry about. You have to leave them. That day is going to come. So why not free yourself now and get rid of all those clinging, all that clinging, I meant to say, and holding on to things. And like Jesus said, and like the gospel said, this morning, I will put a new spirit in you and give you a new life. And then you'll really have a joy in your heart that you never experienced before. To really, you cannot feel joy, you cannot really enjoy life if you're clinging, clasping all the time. And so many of us are like that, clinging on to, I don't know, money, clinging on to, you know, people, clinging. Surest way to get rid of anybody is to cling to them. You don't possess people. You don't possess your friends. So give them freedom. You don't possess your husband. You don't possess your wife. So allow them to be the beautiful person that God made them and has his plans for them. It mightn't be to your liking, but it's what God plans. So let people go. Let all these things you cling to go and enjoy life. That's what Jesus is saying to us in the gospel this morning. Amen.